That's how this fellow, I asked him about it and he said, yeah. He's a dancer, by the way. Jeff is a dancer. Yeah, he dances. So we greeted and said, how are you? How are your steps? He says, well, we are in tune with Lord's tune and all that. Because he heard that. There are many people who come and ask us. He says, well, what is it to be with him? What sort of a life is there to be with the master, with the avatar like that? So all that you need to do, only, he accepts them, those who are well versed in dancing. So dancing means you have to become a dancer in order to be with him, to live with him. He said, yeah. You have to dance to every tune. Any tune that he plays, you have to immediately dance. Without taking care of the dancing floor or anything. Yeah. No sooner he gives out a tune, you have to dance to his tune. And then, of course, I told them that it's not dancing, but it's carrying out his command. Yeah. And that too, perfectly, without rancor, without making faces and all that. Or using your... It begins with using your discretion. Yeah, you discriminate and this and that. It has to go through different stages. You love him. So if he asks you to come and slap him, you wouldn't want to. But you have to dance to his tune. So what you do is just slap him. And he would say, is this the way to obey me? Is this the way to you slap anybody? Well, that's how it is. Then you come and do that, and he comes, and he gives a little pat, tighter pat, and you know, this is not the thing. Slap, slap. So these are the ways that he takes upon himself in order to awaken in us the spirit of obedience. He is never satisfied till we give him a tight slap. This is how I want you to obey me. He takes upon himself. He doesn't ask anybody to slap you or slap him. He takes it upon himself. Yeah.
Eric, Bob emphasized obedience so much, saying that it was greater than love and all. In another place, Bob said that love was a gift from God to man. Obedience was a gift from master to man, and surrender is a gift from man to master. It seems that the obedience that he emphasizes so much has to be a gift from you, he says. And where's the responsibility on our part if obedience is a gift from master to man?
Yeah. Then you should be the recipient of the gift. You have to
desire that.
Yeah.
Desire them?
Huh?
Desire the gift?
Yeah. He wants to give this gift, but do you hold out your hand to receive it? That's what he is. And by the way, he is master and God himself in one. So the love also comes from him because God is absolutely independent. It's not that God gives the gift of love. It is he who gives it. And when he gives that gift of love, we talk in terms of love and all that. What can we say, you see, from... Of course, I don't have that, but yet I have begun to become aware of it, what it is. What we call it, I love you. He would ask us, do you love me? And we are taken up by surprise, you see. We don't know whether to say yes or we don't know whether to say no, because we cannot say that. We cannot dare to say that, I love you, Baba. And because I don't know whether I love him or not. Then why are you here, Rupa? Why? Why do you obey me? Why are you here? Don't know. The answer is don't know. Don't know. Because anything and everything is from him. If you were to know anything, it is from you or you. Yeah. So he says, all right, come. And kiss me on my cheek and say, Baba, I love you. And we go and just peck at his cheek there, you see. And he says, is this the way anybody kisses somebody? Kiss me properly and say that, Baba, I love you. So all this would go on. And mind is such a thing that it continues to, you know, give or emanate doubts and this and that. So what's the matter with this man? Is he starving of love? Why does he want us to say that I love you, Baba? Yeah, it is so. It is true, I tell you. I don't mind confessing it because so many times my mind has said the same thing. I'm talking about myself, not about others. I know nothing about others. So then it goes on, and he doesn't mind what the mind says. Not, no doubt, he knows what the mind is. Yeah, ticking there. But he does that, and he'll call us again. Of course, it must have been about a dozen times in our life with him, of 50 years. Yeah, not every day. Yeah, but every time it goes on increasing, and the mind starts thinking, what is the matter with this man? Why does he want to have this? Because I am called like that. Others are also there, and the mind says, mind sees now what is happening. But after he passed away, we realize the worth of it all. It's always too late. Then we realize it, that at the cost of ridicule, at the cost of anything that our mind thinks about him, he goes on because through his compassion, unless and until he sows in us the seed of love, how can we love him? And these were nothing but sowing the seeds of his love by saying that, all right, say that I love you. Say it, I love you. By that, he instills love in us for him. So that's, these are his ways. Nothing direct. Had it been so direct, it would have been so easy and pleasant and all that. He might scold you while saying this. He might be telling you many things, but he's telling somebody else. And that person knows that it is directed towards me. And Baba is very happy and smiles at the person. And befitting a slave, you accept whatever he says, you see. Living with him brings about the sense of awareness. If it affects you, then you are the culprit. But if it doesn't, if you are not the culprit, it doesn't affect you, but you accept it with all grace. Baba has said also that I alone am. Nobody is at fault. But it behooves a human being to accept his fault. If he is what he is the only thing, only being, we all are puppets. We are not even, all individuals that we see are not there, it's just dream figures, you see, it's like that. Really speaking, he says. So if he directs at you that, well, you are at the fault and all that, he says, but Baba, you said that there's nobody, we are not there, so how can a fault, how can we be accused of any fault? No. It behooves you to accept your fault. Accept the fault. That's how it is. And once you have the gift of love from him, and finish, then the whole charm is lost. You get the love, and that love transports you to annihilate yourself. No sooner you are annihilated, the whole charm is lost. Finished. This whole creation is, the purpose of it is to love. There is no other purpose in creation. All, everything and anything is nothing but a reminder to remember him and to love him. And that's how we are, imaginary puppets that we are. So that game he plays. Baba gives us a figure of the ocean. Ocean is replenished by rainwater. From where does the rain come? The source, not from the above, from there. The evaporation takes place and the rain comes. He is the source and he expects to receive it again, to be replenished. So the trait of love is such that it needs to flow, it needs to share, it needs to be loved, it needs to receive love, you see, like that. It's that very trait, it's at the very root of love. Love is that. And he being all by himself, there's nobody besides him, there's no second to him, then how can that infinite treasure of love be shared with anybody? And it has its trait in it. It needs to be shared. So he imagines. Dasa is there, John is there, here she is there, myself, himself, and all are here, you see. And he plays the game that gives this, that you are this, that this. And what happens is that instead of returning that love, you want more of it for yourself. You consider yourself to be some individual, but he's nothing but he imagined to be you. He imagined a partner in his great game of love. You know, the game of solitaire, that's what Baba says. He played that because there's nobody else to play with him. So he played, and when he began that play, the creation started. And that creation is there. But because him being also infinite existence, that imagining that, like Tessa and like John and myself and Lisa and all that, they began to exist. Because the imagination proceeded from his being infinite existence. So infinite existence gave existence to the imagination. And you began to exist, you see, in real sense, concretely. And being linked with his infinite being, the amness, that is, so you assert, I am Tessa, I am Eris, I am Lisa, I am this, and that I am percolates, you see, in this imagination. And you begin to assert, just as he asserts, I am the only one. So that little I am that echoes there, you see, that I am this. I am infinitely powerful. So when you are there, translated into imagination, you think that there's nobody besides me. I am that. It's like that. You follow. But really speaking, you are nothing. You are just nothing. And that's why he says, worry not, be happy. Don't worry. Leave everything to me. Just love me. This game is to love me. Return that love that I have given to you. So instead of returning that love, we expect love from others.
When I first heard of Baba Erich,
I
thought to myself, well, Baba says this is all a dream.
Yeah.
I said, but the main thing, it seemed to me, was that this is really a dream. It's a dream,
but it's a real dream.
But that's a real fact.
Yeah.
That's the only real fact. And at least now we know one real fact.
That it is a real dream.